All right, hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in for the Snake Pit Podcast. We got Justin here from the Conventional Sniper Podcast in here for the weekend. He flew down here. So we got some good content for you guys, and stand by for some drunken shenanigans. If you want to, we're going to talk about, what do you want to talk about there, Justin?
Gear that does not belong in the sniper's world.
That's true, yeah. All right.
There's lots of it.
Yeah, talking about the shooter belt specifically. Shooter belt with rucks.
You could say belongs in, doesn't belong in.
Yeah, that's true.
How gear doesn't mesh from the
what not to combine.
Yeah, what not to combine. Like, yeah. You can't combine CQB gear with long-range patrolling and sniper gear. There are some overlaps, don't get me wrong, but you can't combine most of it.
Yeah.
We talked about it in my podcast, how the plate carriers with the zipper stuff on the side, mm-hmm. So you can put on like the
quick swap for other.
There's
other
it's
platforms.
Like a Molly panel, yep. And you can put whatever you want on there. You can put your bolt cutters on there. Like, I'm not gonna wear bolt cutters on my back with a ruck. Do that.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, that's what we're gonna talk about today.
Yeah, I think part of that comes from a lot of trends you see right now. Companies are posting like, hey, this is the new this, new that, and you got guys just wearing it, rocking it, but it's not practical for someone actually doing the job.
Just because it's cool doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Because, yeah. Like, I have my shooter belt, and I have an inner outer belt, and it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Mm. But in the sniper community, it doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, putting a heavy 100-plus pound ruck on your back, having a shooter belt on you, weighs down on your shooter belt, which restricts your movement of your hip flexors.
You're going to have a bad time.
You definitely fucking feel that one.
Well, before we go anywhere, I got to back up. I got to give a quick special shout out to Jack McGee.
Oh, yeah.
He's been on my podcast before. His son's been on there. He's a Marine Corps Scout Sniper guy. Jack hooked me up with the flight because he's a really good dude, flies for Southwest. So I just want to say thanks to Jack. And without him, this podcast, or our podcast, wouldn't be possible for this weekend. So thanks to him. He does listen to social media stuff, so.
He may or may not hear it.
Yeah, he may hear this, but I just want to say thanks to Jack. And I guess the Navy did pull a favor for us, so.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you lose in football games. You have to pay up. So,
you got the semen special.
That's funny.
Gotcha.
Anyway, yeah. So the biggest thing, like you talked about, gunfighter belts. I like them because it's a good idea. I think it's better. Like you've got Flicks, fighting load carriers, mm-hmm. Chess rigs, load bearing equipment or LBEs from like Vietnam. Then you have battle belts, right? So we look at like load carriages. Typically what it's called load carriage. Where should my weight be? Like if I'm going to wear 120 pounds worth of gear in my ruck alone, or 150, somewhere in that realm, right? I need to be able to use the strongest portion of my skeletal system to support the weight.
Which is right by your tailbone, right?
I mean, I'm not a scientist, but probably. So I want to use my hips along with my legs, right? I'm not going to use my upper body. Mm-hmm. So I need to be able to put a hip belt on. Right when I have a ruck,
yeah.
I can't wear a hip belt if I have a gunfighter belt. So we need to get rid of that idea that you should be wearing your gunfighter belt while you're moving.
Correct.
When you're doing a stock, that's what the fanny pack's for.
Yeah.
You can wear a fanny pack with a ruck. You can actually put that there. I'm surprised someone hasn't come up with a quick detach fanny pack for a gunfighter belt, or not a gunfighter belt. Excuse me, a ruck. Mm-hmm. So I could put my belt on.
A little addition to it.
Or, yeah, my hip belt, and then rip my fanny pack off if I have to, mm-hmm. You know, or it doesn't get in the way. I think back in the day it was like the old, I don't want to say the Alice packs, but guys used to wear the old LBEs, and they would have like this pack that would sit on the back above their tailbone.
A little butt pack, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
And then they could put a ruck on top of that. So there's a space between the bottom of the ruck frame and where your hip belt would go that you can kind of put it in there. But it depends on your body size. Like, you guys are a little bit taller than me. You're probably, what, 6'2", 6'1"?
6'1",
yeah. Yeah, I'm 5'8". My torso is a little bit shorter. I can't do that. And that's one thing about gear selection, why you can't run CQB with sniper stuff and one guy's gear is the same as your gear. Dudes are different height. You guys probably have different, like, torsos. Some gear may work for you, some gear may not. That's why I think it's Safariland came out where your...
The mid-ride can go to the low.
Yeah, it can go low because the dudes are different height.
Yeah.
And, one thing about the little flap that's on like the Safari Land, I think they're ALS holsters.
Yeah.
Like how it's a little wing that comes over the top. Not mm-hmm. not the safety portion, but the one that sits over the safety portion. The
retention.
Wing. Yeah. And no, it's not retention. It's just literally a piece of plastic that folds over.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anything. It goes above the hood. Mm-hmm. That's because people's, you know, specifically police officers. They were overweight, and their skin was hanging down. And what would happen is it would hit the safeties on manual guns, or it would hit the hood and push it forward when they would sit in the car.
Muffin top guide wall.
Yeah. That thing's literally there so that you don't hit your safeties on your holster. So it doesn't work. Now, the Army's new airborne, the TAP system, that's perfect. Because guess what? I can run a pistol on that thing and bring it up. Or I can, hey, I've got a ruck on, it's coming up. My ruck's off, I can drop it down, I can get my torso low to the ground.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks it's such a bad flick system, or whatever we want to call it, the TAPs. But it's not, it's perfect. It fits every MOS and every job description. Need to be a CQB guy? Cool. Clip it up.
Yep.
You need to be a sniper? Clip it down. You're an engineer, you have to put a life vest on, and you're working on bridges, and you have to be able to keep your kit on you in case you get attacked? Cool. Drop your kit, put your vest on.
It does have the fucking nice quick releases too. So
the only thing in the commercial, I don't mean to cut you off. The only thing in the commercial world I've seen is, First Spear, the Joker, I think is the name of the system that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumors that they've copied it, but I can tell you because
I helped
designs portion of it.
Yeah.
That I don't think there's a direct correlation between the two as far as copying. I think there's some differences.
Yes.
Because I have the first ever, let it go on record, I have the first ever prototype of the TAP system.
Really?
I have the first one.
Because you're right.
Because I literally helped design it.
Yeah. Going back to like the whole shooter belt, like I don't run a shooter belt at all. Since I've been a sniper, like I won't run a shooter belt anymore, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you still have to carry a pistol and all that stuff. So yep. I will have the Safariland drop holster. The mid, I think it's called. I think it's the mid.
The mid ride.
Yeah, mid ride. Yeah, and I'll put that specifically on my belt because it's not restricting my
hip flexors. By belt, you mean your actual pants belt,
because that's not restricting my hip flexors. Because the biggest thing I've noticed too is because I did do that. I wore a shooter belt when I first wore a heavy ass ruck and went on a mission, and it was like,
oh, I can't put my hip.
My hips are like fucking on fire because I can't move them. So I have a dump pouch on my left side, and then my pistol on my right, and then everything else is on my chest or my flick or whatever. So,
have you guys used the Blue Force Gear dump pouch?
No.
Have you guys heard of that? Have you seen it at all?
Mm-mm.
So it's the one whisper. That's like a little square. It's like
and it packs up into it.
I haven't bought one yet, but I'm gonna dang on buy one.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to put it like on top of something, which I'm a big advocate for. Gear doing multiple things in one.
Yeah.
You know? 100%. And we've talked about some other stuff, which will eventually be coming down the pipe. However, if you're going to buy the Army's not going to, or the Marine Corps, is not going to supply you with a lot of the gear you need in section. It's just not going to happen. You're going to get the regular rucks.
Which we talked about, yeah. Yep. Like, you just got it. Like, the sniper world is like, we buy our own stuff.
Which is actually kind of good.
It is.
It's really good and not good.
Yeah. It's good because we can... And there's a lot of gear out there. There's a lot of gear out there for the sniper community, the sniper world, the recce guys to mix and match what works, what doesn't work, and stuff like that. The only bad thing, the downside on it is it's expensive. It can be expensive.
It's an investment.
And a lot of people, we'll call it that. Yeah. And sometimes the Army won't pay for it. So.
Sorry, that's the alarm system in the background. It's clearly working. Obviously, our hindsight's been compromised.
Yeah, it's time to go pack your shit. The big thing I see with it too is guys also they see space on these belts, regardless if it's a high speed little belt or whatever kind of belt you got.
Got to pack it in with shit.
And they say like there's space on here, so I need to fill it with everything I can possibly imagine. I need to use that space. You don't have to use the entire thing either.
But dude, half the gear you bring on a sniper mission, you don't dang on need. You really don't.
And we were literally talking about in the last episode, like how I like to pack a bunch of shit out there. I'm always like, Mason's got it.
You like to live like a king, don't you?
I got everything, dude. And I would definitely pay for it in fucking weight. Like ounces equal pounds, pounds equal pain. And
that's a VA claim.
I definitely fucking am in pain.
Dude, like, one thing, the ammo bearer /RTO, that guy's a little bit of a different story.
Yes.
Right? I need him to carry indirect.
Has to,
right? Yeah. Right? And these M320s, everyone's getting, get rid of that crap. I think it's a good system, but I think it's too bulky on the rifle. I really do. Well, there's nothing wrong, with the 203, other than it's not standalone. Well, LMT Defense, I think is their name, they've got a standalone system. It's literally just a pistol grip on a 320, or a 203 rather. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I need, I got it. I want a breech loading or side loading or blah, blah, whatever. They're too bulky, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That is not made to be a Carl Gustaf. It's really not. It's made to just hit the earth, whatever, so I can get away with it, or hit targets in defilade. Stop. You know, if you,
in a moment's notice.
Yeah,
in a moment's notice. Quick deployment, yeah.
Yep. And I've never heard of any guy ever complain about the 203, the fact that I have to load it forward, put the round in, pull it back.
That's what we had when I came in, and I got really good with that system. It was smooth. I didn't have any issues. You could actually get multiple rounds out of it.
Yep, and it was accurate.
I never even saw the 320 until I came into the Army. Like, in the Marine Corps, it was all three, or as a 203.
Like, you know what I will say is, if there's an easy way to get rid of extra weight on your rifle using a 203, unlike the 320. So if you have your front sight post on an M4, right?
Are you talking about the notches thing?
Yes. Yeah, I told you this. Yes. Right, so there's also an easy way to be able to see your front sight post at night. Take a lighter, singe it, because that darkness on your front sight post is going to be different than the ambient light you're going to see. Right, it's always going to be darker. Unless you're in literally the darkest room ever in subterranean areas, right? Where there's literally no ambient light. So then you take your leaf sight, right? And while you're on there, you change the angle of it and you mark it on your front sight post. And that will give you, and then you can take that leaf sight off. Or you can just do what everyone does, is just literally give it some whop. And you can just winds and parallax it out there. Someone's going to get the point when a 40 mic mic lands near them. Like, hey, I'm probably getting shot at by something more than bullets.
Kentucky, we might have fucked up.
Yeah, it's indirect for a reason. It's not direct. Now, don't get me wrong. If you could hit some HEDP on the direct spot, it obviously makes things a little bit more efficient. But it's not intended to be a laser-guided munitions. They have the systems out there, but I ain't got time with that. I just want to get fire superiority because my sniper and my spotter or the team leader packing their stuff up. All your job as the RTO at that point, if you're slinging 40 mic is to cover everyone's ass, because you better be calling for help.
Yes.
You know, and that comes down to those 40 mic belts. Those are great, and if you don't have 40 mic belts in your team, you better dang on get some. You know.
And actually, I want to say, Haley Strategic just made a placard for the front of your kit.
The five banger hanger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's cool. Yeah. I still would take the Tactical Tailor 20 round.
That's what I had when I first came in. Yeah. So just there's different options, different loadouts as far as gear and placement, where it's sitting on your body for movements. So
now, if you would you guys take more HEDP or more HE?
I guess I would have to know what we're doing as far
as mission dependent
area. What is the last crew?
I wish there was a timed airburst fuse for 40 mic.
We can hope.
We can't help. I wish there really was. That'd be awesome. Because the 84mm has it. Like the Carl Gustaf, they have airburst. So why don't we have 40 mic airburst?
That's a good damn question.
Hey, if you're like BAE or something, man, I need some 40 mic airburst. Like stat, or fire mission.
Yeah, I don't need more beaver fit gems. I need stuff that I can actually use.
Some what?
Beaver fit gyms.
Beaver fit?
Oh, is that a Marine Corps term?
No, God, it's the new Army thing.
He was out before they started rolling them.
Yeah.
Boys out.
The beaver fit? Yeah, it's like a gym conics.
Get a gym. Get a gym.
It's literally small tan conics?
Yeah, it's a little small tan conics with like pull-up bars and like a rope climb thing with like a bunch of weights and barbells and stuff like that outside the company.
And the thing is, like, units were hurting and are hurting so bad on just basic shit. Like, there's probably like deadlined, you name it, in the arms room.
Mm-hmm.
And the unit's like, no, we need deadlift bars. We need kettlebells.
Physical fitness can't go down.
You talking about we have gyms on base? Nah, we don't need those.
Fort Riley's got like four gyms up by all the infantry units. Now, one thing I will say, I think it's cool, is when you have like the clamshell gyms, like in battalions, where they have like their own actual gyms, where they have like fitness trainers and they monitor your actual fitness so you can go to the next level. That's cool. Which, if you're in a section, by the way, as soon as your guys get in section and they're staying on the team and they get their Bravo 4, if they are any rank that has to live in the barracks, you should immediately stop their meal card and get them BAS. And you can do that by sending them up to the wellness center on post. And the wellness center will develop a individual fitness plan for them and use that in a memorandum to say that this individual needs different nutrition and they should be getting BAS.
Yep. So it's just a memorandum signed by the commander, right?
Yep, just memorandum signed, and you use that evidence from the wellness center.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because you go up there and get like the bod pod, and they basically test your like your dad bod fitness.
Tell you how fat you are.
Damn. If you have good dad bod fitness or bad dad.
You are 65% Crisco.
And they also test like your resting metabolic rate and they'll build like, all right, when do you, how do you want to get to a 6 mile runtime or a 6 minute runtime, right, for a mile? Okay, you change your diet this way, you need to balance this and that, and in 3 weeks you're going to come down here and retest, and we're going to make sure you're good to go. And they'll also put you on, I forget what the thing's called. You go to the treadmill and you put the oxygen mask on and you run.
I'll measure your levels and stuff.
Yeah, to see like oxygen saturation and stuff like that.
Yep.
So if you're not doing that as soon as you get into section, you're wrong. And also, during tryouts, you should take guys up there to the wellness center and get that stuff done. Because it tells you what their baseline performance is. And then not only that, but it'll give you a forecaster of, like, because in our section, we were like, all right, if your PT score is low, that's okay. Right? We're not looking for you already having a 270. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone's like, you've got to have a 270 to come into section.
Yeah. What's your longevity?
You can work that.
I want to see what is your potential to get past a 270.
Yep.
And I want to see how unfit or fit you already are. Because there are guys that show up with a 270 because they have really good run times.
Yep.
Right? Now, granted, the Army's PT test is changing. Well, how do we now establish what a 270 is, or what is the minimum base for coming into section? Because, I mean, I don't know that I'm out now. But
see, you're mentioning things that are, you're talking about bod pod and oxygen saturation. There's sections that are afraid to take it that seriously.
And I think well, if you're not taking it that seriously, you shouldn't be in the second
sections
community.
Need to be taking it that seriously.
Absolutely.
Yep. It's and not just how many push-ups can you do? All right, cool, man. Let's get it. Like
it's
it
actually your survivability.
It really is.
Survivability.
It's
you're
your
a small team by yourselves.
Not only that, but it's your ability to put rounds on target under stress. If your body is pushing its O2 saturation and its heartbeat to the next level, even though it's only one engagement, you're probably going to have a really hard time. So you can forecast that in the fitness aspect. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to crash hard.
Yep. You're going to have a mental dump, and you're going to have a bunch of catecholamine after that, and you're going to go night nights. You're going to take a nap.
Yep. Night
go sleep.
Yeah, you're going to need it. Because your body goes through, you know, such a rapid change. But you can use that as a forecaster to tell how long it's going to take to get someone into shape. And then you'd use that plan to take the fitness out of your equation. So use a section guy or a section leader can focus on training them while they begin to focus on their own of retaining information you taught them and working on their physical fitness. So it makes your job easier.
Yeah.
And that comes back to this gear portion, is if you make that incorrect gear, you're going to wear those dudes out longer. Or, excuse me, faster. And what I would do, now looking back on it, yeah, you're not going to be able to go as long.
Exactly.
Yeah. What I would do is I would take all my kit, and I'd go down there and see what their metabolic fitness level is or their basic baseline. All right, like, hey, if at six, we're going to put you on a treadmill with oxygen saturation and you need to go for 6 miles, and I want to see what your physical fitness ability is. It's this. Okay, well, what if we change this gear up here? We change that gear up here. What if we change how we pack a ruck? Which I know none of us have talked about of how to pack a ruck.
No, we're going to talk about that.
There's plenty of podcasts that talk about it.
Usually what I see is sections they have a system incorporated. Like, hey, this is the SOP for this. But
right.
they don't practice it.
I will.
They don't practice it to know if that works or not. It just sounds good, and they don't actually go apply it.
But some people don't even know or have a SOP in their sections. And that's where something we're going to go over.
Go willy-nilly.
Like having not like a baseline for the entire Army, because that's unrealistic for us to even push out.
right.
But like
the for podcast section, told me.
The podcast, yeah. But like having like a baseline.
Hey, our podcast is a serious case.
It is. Having a baseline of standard SOPs in the sections of how you pack your rucks. Like we're talking about, like in the middle of night ops, you know, hey.
Yeah.
You're my fucking security element.
Hey, you've got claymores up there.
Grab me, grab me this. Grab me XYZ. And he knows exactly what pouch, where exactly on that ruck is.
Well,
to grab
I'll give you, to add on to this, a guy by the name of Eric Johnson. And if you've ever been, he's a former squad leader of mine. Guys in 10th Mountain know him. Guy got the Bronze Star back in the day with some crazy valor stiff, pulling dudes out of Bradley's during the invasion, cut fire, etc. He taught me to label my pouches on my ruck. So all of our rucks had numbers on the pouches. So my sustainment pouch 1, sustainment pouch 2. When guys went and bought their own bags, like their tactical tailor bags, it all had numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It had your name, B positive, last 4 on there, and then it had pouch 1, pouch 2.
Whatever.
Yeah, 1 through whatever, right? And guys, I've seen guys go before, they have to go get, like, you know, the Velcro patches to be like, oh, go in this pouch. It's got this cool number on it. Dude, just take a permanent dang on marker and write 1. Mm-hmm. And if you can't count, go to your section leader and he can help you count.
This is the age of laser cut, brother.
Yeah, seriously.
Everything's laser cut.
Yeah.
She's use a dang on marker, which goes back to, like, gear, man. Like, if it just has to be simple. You know, everyone gets really in depth and in the weeds about gear. If I can't put it on, I can't put it on. Which, the tap system, I want to go back to this. How do you guys, mount your pistols on there, right?
No, I mount my
pistols. Oh, you mount it on your hip?
I got mine in my hip.
Yeah.
Would you mount it on your taps?
I mean, I wouldn't
elaborate.
I wouldn't propose, but I'm a hip kind of guy.
Yeah. Putting that on there for 12 miles, carrying 50 pounds of gear, going over rough terrain up and down mountains, you want to wear that on there?
I mean,
perfect. Obviously. Just me and my mechanics.
Yeah, your preference.
My preference of my mechanics, shooter beam, shooter preference, like my mechanics, I want it on my hip, or on my hip. Just because that's...
I'll take the bait. I'll say no.
Yeah.
I'll put it on my chest. So I'll put it on my test.
Let's hear it. So here's a great way to set this up. How would you mount it if you're not going to put it on your leg?
Well, anything that obviously for long periods of time, you're talking terrain, you're going to be already pissed off about everything else. The last thing I want is something loose and floppy in my vicinity. So as tight to the body as you could possibly get it without getting in the way of anything else that might be moving around me or reducing my stride, et cetera, et cetera.
But also something that's easily accessible if I get into
a situation
where I need to pull out my pistol and use it.
Okay, all right. I like your...
The reasoning.
Yeah, your reasoning. Because I was thinking about it. Like, you know how like some systems have the gun tucked in down here or whatever? And I was like, no, I'll like, rub against my stuff, but I don't necessarily want to put it on the center of
Here's
my chest.
Here's the word that's been resonating in my mind this entire conversation. Chafing.
Lots that's the word I was
chafing.
Yeah.
I don't want that. So how do I have no chafing?
That's true. Yeah. So the only thing I can think of is to put it directly on my kit. Because remember how like the Black Hawk holsters are draw firm right here?
And I've seen people do that.
Look,
and
it's not sexy. I mean, it's, people like hate I said, it, but...
It's shooter preference. Yeah. Like, obviously, change it up, see how you work. But like, my mechanics over my time have always been on my hip. So... if something arrives really quick, my first instinct is to grab off my hip. If for a pistol, for a pistol,
yeah,
that's my mechanics, is to grab off my hip and draw from there.
See, when I was in section, we never had the hip holster thing. We never had the leg holster. It was always because you wore either a play carrier or you wore IOTV, mm-hmm. and that stuff was directly center of my chest.
Yeah,
and I never had any issues getting low enough with it because the play carrier, or the IOTV, was always pushing me up higher anyway. So it was never in my way with anything, but I know some guys are like.
The only thing I can come back with is like if you get into an urban scenario where you go into a building and somebody's right there, and they get close to you in your chest, you have a little bit harder to.
That's fair. That's
harder to draw from. Whereas I can kind of push and get a standoff with my arm to grab onto my hip and then pull out. That's the only thing I can argue I can keep from putting on my hip than my chest. But
as long as it's comfortable, it doesn't hurt you, I guess.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And but I mean, it's not cold. Chafing. Yeah.
Everyone's favorite thing.
Yeah.
But you know what I will tell you, too, is when, like, I don't mean to cut you off again. You and I just have, like, so many topics.
Damn it.
We can quickfire. The worst training event I ever did, which was also the coolest at the same time, my boots were soaking wet. And gear selection of boots is huge because, like, fake leather versus real leather. So I had a set of regular army issue boots, and I got soaking wet. And we were lucky enough to have a fire during this training event. We were like deep in the middle of nowhere, and we were freezing. And our section leader was like, "Hey, you know what? Why don't we just, you know, go ahead, start a fire, guys, get warm, raise morale." So I'm like, "Yeah, man, raise dang on morale, get a
raise
fur.
That morale."
Yeah. So I take my boots off right before I go huddle in my sleep sack and leave them right by the fire. Wrong. I should have never done that because my boot size shrunk almost half an inch overnight from them being wet and
oh,
then
God.
Heating up and expanding and then contracting when they got cold and the fire went out. I was half a shoe size smaller. So the next day when I went to go put my boots on and I started rucking, and we were like in the middle of Fort Riley, in the middle of nowhere. It tore my feet to pieces because my boots were too small.
You got wrecked.
It literally tore my feet so bad I was out for almost a month. It literally went almost down to the bone in the back of my feet. It was absolutely horrible. And that's when I was like, hey, I should probably buy a different set of boots instead of using the Army's boots all the time.
Yep. 100%. I will always wear Merrell's. Well, I'm a Merrell's guy, but Salomons or...
Salmons,
whatever you got.
Salamanders.
They will really wear down really fast, some of their lighter stuff.
Yeah. I'm
really fast.
Merrell's?
Salamons. Salmons.
Whatever we're going to call them.
Samsonite.
Yeah.
Those shoes.
Way off.
I'm a Merrell's kind of guy, so I've always worn all the Merrell's, so...
So I mean, the big takeaway, I think, from this rabbit hole, this entirety of this episode, is just the gear considerations that a lot of people don't think about.
Quite gear considerations, but the shooter belts and the ruck issue.
That's
and
the then, bigger one.
I mean, we got kind of got dived down a rabbit hole, obviously, because we all like to fucking talk with each other. So.
And making sure your gear does not wear out your endurance. And make sure you know what your potential is physically to be able to increase your endurance with the right gear.
Absolutely.
It's something I always harp on is, okay, like, if you have something that works better, I'll believe you. Take it out. Please, for love of God, take it out and actually test it out. See if it works.
Go take a camping trip on the weekend and test your gear out.
If it's stupid and it works, it's not stupid. All right? That's what we're going to leave it off with. Sergeant Major Gandalf's fucking words.
Right. Except he's a sergeant major, not an officer, and officers would disagree with you.
Yeah, well, sergeant major is...
Well, there lies our problem.
Sergeant major's better. So we're going to wrap it up here for this episode.
We got more stuff coming.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot more stuff coming. We've
got Justin out here for three days.
I'm only 2 beers in, boys.
Yeah, we've been drinking the beers. I've been drinking, I think I have two entire...
You can't even speak right now.
Those are the concussions, not the alcohol.
Thank you. Yeah,
no, you're down here for what? 3 more days? 2 more days?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I'll stay down here as long as you're in love with me, but whatever.
Yeah, so that's eternal, brother. Yeah. We got you for a few more days, so we're going to keep cranking out some content for you guys, and we'll see you next time.